did. I went somewhere. I went somewhere and I forgot what I was supposed to take with me. Wow. Yeah, oh my goodness. And what I loved about that was I could feel I was going somewhere and I could feel people around me were going somewhere. And then I had this great awareness that we were going to wherever we were going with each other. I love you. Thanks for being part of my journey. Oh, I'm really happy to see some friends in the house, new and old. So I want to share a little story with you. There once lived a very wise man in a small village. He was the head of the local administration and respected by all for his views and opinions on varied subjects. We've all met him, right? People came to him in times of need or just to seek some good advice on the different aspects of life. But ironically, his only son was a lazy lad who whisked away his time eating, sleeping, or enjoying being with his friends outside. Sounds like a good life. No amount of advice or even threat made any difference to his attitude. As the years passed and the wise man grew old, he got more and more worried about his son's future and realized he needed to give something to his son to take care of himself and the family. So one day he called to his son and he said, "My son, you are grown up now. You need to understand life and your responsibilities. You need to understand this by now." I'm amazed by his father's sudden anxiety. His son said, "Father, you have always been by my side to guide me. How would I ever manage without you? I would be so lost without you." His father drew him close and hugged him, and he said to him, "I want you to find the real purpose of your life, and when you find it, remember it always, for it will lead you to a life full of happiness and joy." The son was kind of amused. What could be this important lesson that could cure all his problems in the future, he wondered. The next day, his father gave him a bag. The son was greatly surprised as he opened the bag, as it had four pairs of clothes, one for each season, some raw food, grains, lentils, some money, and a map. And he wondered what he was supposed to do with this stock. And his father told him, "I want you to go find a treasure. I have drawn a map of the place where the treasure is hidden. You need to go and find it." Aha, the son thought to himself. So this is what father was talking about. This is what he was referring to. The real purpose of my life is to find this treasure. That will solve all my problems. I'm game. So he set out the next day very early on his journey, eager to find the mystical treasure. The place described in the map was far, far, far away, and he had to cross many rivers, forests, plateaus, and mountains to reach his destination. He prayed he would meet his father when he returned to show him his findings, the great treasure. He set out on his travel days. Weeks and months passed. He met a lot of people along the way. Some helped him with food. Some gave him shelter. He also met thieves and robbers who tried to cheat him and rob him of his belongings. As he moved through the landscape, slowly the season changed. Fall gave way to winter. Spring led to summer. When the weather got harsh, he would pause his journey only for the necessary time. Moving towards his destination judiciously, he was just continuously on it. He wanted to find that treasure before anyone else did. Finally, after a long year, he reached the cliff where his father had told him he would find his life's treasure. He spotted the tree his father had described in the map. and started looking around it. He searched and searched and searched, but found nothing. You could have guessed that part, right? He spent 2 days looking and digging for the treasure around that tree. Exhausted, he decided to go back. Tired and a bit devastated by his father's lie, he headed back home. On his way back, he experienced the same changing landscapes and seasons. But this time, when the spring came, he stopped to wander among the blooming flowers, experience the birds, witness the falling rain. He witnessed glorious sunsets and reveled in peaceful summer evenings. He learned to hunt for his own food, sew his own clothes, and protect himself from the harsh weather. He learned to calculate the time of the day with the sun's position and plan his journey accordingly. He also learned how to protect himself from wild animals, harmful plants and shrubs. And he met the same people who had helped him on his way. But this time, he stopped. He spent time with them. He helped them with their chores to show his gratitude. He realized how wonderful they were in their sense of trying to help the passerby on that route without any expectation of anything in return. When he reached home, which he finally did, he realized he had been out of his house for 2 long years. He went straight to his father's room and was relieved to see him resting. He walked up to him slowly and whispered, "Father." He was being careful not to disturb him in his sleep. The wise man opened his eyes. He got up as he saw his son and embraced him. "So how was your journey, my son? Did you find the treasure?" he asked. "Well, the journey was fascinating, Father," the son replied. "But forgive me, Father, as I have disappointed you. I could not find any treasure at the place you described in the map. Maybe somebody reached there before I did and took it." The son was surprised at his own answer, that instead of being angry at his father, he was asking for his father's forgiveness. His father smiled and signaled him to sit down on a chair next to him. And you probably know what he had to tell him. "That is because there was no treasure at that place, my son." "But why did you send me to find it then?" he asked. And his father said, "I will surely tell you why, but first, you tell me, how was your journey when you were going to find the treasure, when you were on your way to it? Did you enjoy the varying landscapes, living out on your own amidst new people and the changing seasons? Did you make good friends along the way?" "Of course not, Father. I did not get distracted for 1 second. I had no time to do any of that since I was focused on my destination. As soon as possible, everything I did was to find that treasure. I had no time to experience the landscape, the weather, or to make any friends. But on the way back, I must admit, I really enjoyed my journey back. I learned many new skills and mastered the art of survival, so much so that I forgot the pain of not finding the treasure." And his father held his hand and said, "Exactly, my son. You wanted to know how to lead life and find your goals. But if you lead your life going after a goal on this journey called life, you miss out the real treasures on the way because you are so focused on finding the goal. When the truth is that life has no goal at all other than just to live it and grow with it each day. The wise old man. And there were parts of that that we could just predict, right? We could just predict parts of it. And there were parts of it that might have been a surprise to us, but we're all on this journey. And a lot of times we get caught in the destination, which I believe in. I've talked about it. I think it's important. But enjoying the journey along the way, that's what we're here to do. You know, we're talking about today, we're talking about living a spiritual life. We're talking about what does that mean to live a spiritual life. And that's going to be different for each of us. Just as that young man on the journey and finding his path and the way to experience life for him, each of us is encountering all of the goodness of life, all of the difficulties of life, all of the challenges of life, all of the blessings of life in our own way. We're finding it on our journey. So there's a very appropriate saying, many paths lead to one God. All of our journeys, all of our paths, they're all leading to our experience of our spiritual life. There's no right path, there's no wrong path, but there is a dedicated path, and there is a conscious path, and there is a path by default and a path by intention. And when we're in this teaching and we're remembering that we are one with the divine, bless you. When we are remembering that there is only one thing going on and we're part of it, then our path, our journey is not random, is it? Is it?
No.
By golly, it isn't. By golly. And not only is it not random, it's absolutely imperative that we recognize and know our part in our journey. There's but one cause in all the universe. That one cause is consciousness. I am a part of that cause. I am almighty in the causation of all that happens in my life. Only good can come into my life because I desire only good. As I understand more and more of the truth about myself, I automatically express good in more abundance. That's my guiding path. That's my map. That is my map. And we all need our map. What is your map for living your spiritual life? Have you even thought about it? Well, we all have a map. We have the principles of the science of mind, if we choose to use them. We have intuition. We have friends. Living a spiritual life, well, we already are, right? We already are. We could all be in agreement with that. I asked Ernest to share with us what he has to say about spirit, because I thought it was a good place to go to today. So Ernest says, spirit, God within whom all spirit exists. God within whom all spirits exist. The self-knowing one, the conscious universe, the absolute. Spirit in man is that part of him which enables him to know himself. That which he really is. We do not see the spirit of man any more than we see the spirit of God. We see what man does, but we do not see the doer. We treat of spirit as the active and the only self-conscious principle. We define spirit as the first cause or God, the universal I am. He goes on. We are spiritual beings expressing the divinity of God within. The divinity of God within me, the divinity of God within Fred and Vicky and everyone here is being expressed uniquely by us. We started out this month talking about that inward journey and going on the inward journey and knowing God so that we could know ourselves and knowing ourselves so that we could know God. This is an important part of our map for living our spiritual life. Being willing to encounter our experiences on the interior of our being is a little bit like the young man on his journey. He didn't want to pause and notice what was going on around him. And sometimes when we're experiencing the interior of our life, when we're having that encounter with ourselves, we might not want to pause and take time to be with how we're feeling, to be with what we're experiencing, to be with that whisper that is spirit within us guiding and directing us. Have you ever had a moment of intuition and said, oh, not now? Oh, thank you. Yeah, I have too. Have you ever had a moment of inspiration or an offering? Someone has invited you to step into something and said yes. Yes. We all have. And sometimes it's terrifying. And sometimes moving through the terrifying moment and being in that place of saying yes to our sacred yes to that which is calling to us, oh, isn't that like the whole world just changes? Because we've said yes to ourselves. Living a spiritual life doesn't mean doing anything different out here. It means paying attention in here. Paying attention to the love, to the light, to the beauty, to the purpose, to the discovery that's going on. So I have a few suggestions if anybody wanted to have some ideas about how to live a spiritual life. Patty's list in no particular order. And I'll give it to you quick. All right? So you have to listen fast. Yes. It's how we live our life. That is the test. All right. The company I keep is important. Yes. Be with like-minded people. That keeps me on my spiritual path, living my spiritual life. Have a daily dedicated spiritual practice. Okay, I could really get on a soapbox about this, but I promise I won't. Just do it. Practice gratitude. And when you're saying thank you, when you're saying, oh, I am grateful for this, please add on, I am grateful for this because. I am grateful for my husband because. I am grateful for each person here because. I'm grateful for the light and the butterflies that flew by me because. Add to it. Let your spiritual path deepen. There's more. Be here now. My friend says, be where your feet are, Patty. Just be in the present moment. It works. Remember, the choice is yours. The power of choice. Serve. Give. Maya Angelou says, you see, the gift is us, you and me, being ourselves. Serve. Give. Love. There's more. Get quiet. You know what I mean by that, right? I don't mean don't talk when there's something for you to say. I don't mean let other people be in charge. That's not the kind of quiet I'm talking about. The quiet I'm talking about is the stillness of our own mind and being with ourselves. Get quiet and be with God. Spirit. Learn. Get in a class. Take my class. Laugh. Practice spiritual maturity, because that leads to spiritual authority. Practice peace and understand cause and effect. Did you guys get all that? You ready for the test, Joan?
Yeah.
I know you are. See, I know it's my list. It's my list, and everybody's list would be different. What does it mean to you to be living a spiritual life? This is an important question to ask ourselves and to interact with, to share our ideas with. That's the beautiful thing of Tuesday mornings when we come together and we're having a topic of conversation and we're sharing with each other and we're revealing ourselves. And the thing that happens when we hear ourselves speak out loud in a space of committed listening is beautiful. It's not the same as saying it quietly inside my head. Saying it out loud and hearing the vibration and the words of myself and being heard. Oh, that's beautiful. And that's what we do when we show up, when we listen to each other, and when we share ourselves with each other. So living a spiritual life is simply allowing the divinity of me to know the divinity in you, which is what I do. Sometimes we use namaste to speak to that. And so the divinity in me recognizes and salutes the divinity within you. So let's just take this into prayer. In the beautiful and sacred activity of prayer, I recognize and I know there's one. There's one power. There's one life. There's one love. There's one energy. There's one. In the interior of my being, I recognize and know that that one that encompasses all, loves all, has a purpose of expressing itself and knowing itself and revealing itself as all, is in me, through me, and as me. And I know that this one is in and through and as all life. It is in and through and as the life of each beloved person who is in the vibration of this word. And I know that each one who is here by right of consciousness to know that indwelling presence in a greater way. That in our sharing of ourselves in this space, we know each other. We recognize each other. We celebrate each other. And we celebrate that magnificence that is the divinity of God within each other. For as I know myself, I know God. As I know God, I know myself. And as I know those around me, I know the divinity of God in a greater way. And so I willingly, gladly take my journey. I take it with an open heart. I take it with my eyes open and my heart open and my willingness to meet every person along the way with love, to encounter every experience with curiosity, and to let love reign supreme over all. For this is a journey of love. And so with my heart filled with gratitude, knowing that I never travel alone, and that each one is there by right of consciousness, I simply say thank you for the power, the presence, and the authority that continues to reveal itself. And as I release this word, I release it to a perfect power. I release it to the law of mind. Knowing that all is well, I let go and I let it be. And so it is. And amen.